On 1116 SEN, the ultimate rap with Tony Shebeki.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. It is the ultimate wrap here on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy. Tony Shebeki with you for the next hour, and Troy Zantuck joining me as well here in the studio. Zanners, good morning.
Good morning to you, Shebeks, and to all the listeners. Wow, it is hotting up once again. Round 18, fascinating.
The footy's hotting up. The weather's not.
No. Freezing. I'm talking about the football.
It was freezing at the footy yesterday.
It is brass monkey weather out there, Shebeks, at the moment. Very chilly. Goodness. In Melbourne town.
I tell you what, though, you're right, though. The footy is hot at the moment, and there's a couple of teams that are also just proving to be hot as well in the AFL, and we'll talk about that with our man from SEN's Inside Football, Brett Anderson, who joins us now. Good morning, Brett.
Hey, Shebeksters, Ernest, how are we going?
Very well, thank you, mate. Very well, and I suppose the hottest team around at the moment, and I would say that they're generally the first team in 2017 that have put their hand up and said, we are premiership favourites, and that's got to be Adelaide. They were sizzling on Friday night against the Cats.
They were very good, and I guess they needed to be, though, boys, when you consider their recent record against the Cats and everything, I think, that was sitting in their favour. They're pretty much injury-free over there, along with a couple of clubs who have got a pretty good run so far with injuries and their list. But, look, they were very, very good again on Friday night. Richie Douglas is a player who's really flown under the radar, I think, in Adelaide, not only this year but in recent years as well. Four goals. He was probably the game-breaker in the end, and it was a fascinating game, though, when you saw how far they skipped out to in front, but then they sort of took the foot off the pedal a little bit late, and there were some moments there where you thought, geez, if Geelong get one more, it might create for a nervy final 5 minutes.
Crows fans would be cock-a-hoop about Rory Sloane's return to form, Brett.
Yeah, look, well, he kicked three goals and showed no effects of that concussion from the week before, so I thought he was outstanding, and probably really set the tone with his attack on the footy based on what he'd gone through for the week. So he was really strong again. And I guess the only one that was out of that side was Jake Lever. When you see the performances of Jake Kelly, who continues to get better and better week in, week out, they've got probably that's the one addition back into that team who's going to make them stronger. So, no, they'd be wrapped Adelaide. And I think rightfully so that they sit there at the moment, top of the ladder, and you'd say, yeah, well, they're the team to beat.
A lot of talk at the moment about Tom Hawkins and where he sits up forward for the Cats. Of course, Patrick Dangerfield had that breakout game out forward with 5 goals, 6 2 weeks ago with an injury. Hawkins hasn't been able to get over the 1 or 2 goal mark per game for the last few weeks. Sits 37 on the season and 13 off the top of the Coleman medal. Your thoughts on Tom Hawkins at the moment?
Yeah, he's not having his best season so far, but I guess we all go through, or all players go through that sort of stretch where things don't quite fall their way. The thing is, though, they're winning games. And obviously, the other night, they didn't win, but sitting second on the ladder, they're doing something right. And he's a part of that, whether he's kicking goals or not. He's bringing other players into the game. Daniel Menzel's been a good avenue to goal for them. And we saw Harry Taylor kick, I think, 5 after half-time the other night. So whilst his goal-kicking form hasn't been where it's probably been at in other years, you just got to look at the win-loss record and say, well, OK, well, might not be working for Hawk, but as long as the team gets Ws and that continues through into September, I don't think Chris Scott will really care if Hawkins doesn't kick another goal, as long as they win games.
Great to see yesterday in front of a crowd of just over 40,000 at Etihad Stadium, Brett. The Bombers and the Roos, it was take me back to yesterday with 36 goals kicked. The Bombers saluting Orazio Fantasia, brilliant, and Cale Hooker, nice 4 goals in that last quarter. The Bombers just doing the job, but the Roos were competitive for pretty much 3 of those 4 quarters.
Well, that's as inexperienced of a North Melbourne team as you're going to see put out in a long time in terms of the number of first-year players and kids who were totally inexperienced. And they took it right up to Essendon. Essendon was totally off the ball for a while, but full credit to North. And Ben Brown up forward, 6 goals. He's having a remarkable season. I think he's up to 47 now, which is a great effort for him in a team who's only won the handful of games and sits second last on the ladder. So he's been a real shining light up there. And Jared Waite chipped in with his 4, I think, as well. So look, the Bombers, in the end, I guess they got their act together in time, but certainly for periods there into the last quarter, there were some nervy moments there for Essendon supporters, because if they did drop that game, you would have pretty much said that that was their chances gone. So in the end, they did what they had to do. As you mentioned, Cale Hooker ended up with 5, 4 in the last quarter. Before that, he was a bit scratchy up forward, so But to come through in the end on, I think, Daniel Nielsen, a poor young fellow who he rubbed a few of those goals into, he rubbed his nose in it a little bit in the final turn.
Yes.
So he made sure he knew every single goal that went through. But that's a learning lesson, I think, for Dan Nielsen. He'll end up being a better player for it. But look, the Bombers, in the end, as I said, did what they had to do, and they move on to next week. And it's a massive clash, I think, next weekend.
And for a 24-hour period, they are in the eight, and depending on what West Coast do today, they'll either stay there or they'll drop down to ninth, a game behind. So we'll wait and see how that plays out. I suppose the big talk out of the game and the big vision out of the game was Brad Scott's beratement of Mad Jack Doran. I'm fortunate enough to have a wife who's deaf and a very good lip reader. So I got a blow-by-blow description of what Scott had to say, and there's not much I can repeat on radio.
Lift your game, magic? Was that?
Well, it was all based around the fact that you're the strongest man on the field, yeah, and you get pushed out of a contest so easily. If you can't do the job yourself, I'll come down and do it for you.
Yeah, it's nice of Scotty. I thought they were ordering dinner or working out where they're going to have their food last night, but... Mad Jack, from what I saw, was pretty good early on, and there was probably a couple of contests there that he'd like another crack at, but aside from that, I thought he showed a bit in the ruck today, and something to really work with moving forward, and it probably really raises some more questions about Todd Goldstein and his future, because I think there's enough there yesterday to sit there and say, you know what, let's sort of persist with this for another couple of weeks and give him a decent crack at it. There's no point giving him 1 week and then bringing Todd back or whatever. Let's give him a decent little dip at this and see what we've got.
It's great to see that crowd I just mentioned, Brett, just over 40,000. When the Bombers are up and running, they bring people through the turnstiles, don't they?
No, they do. And that's the thing. They've always been a bit like that, I think, the Bombers, and especially at Etihad, when they're a decent side, it's a pretty tough place to go and play, and the noise that gets made in there and the boos, they're pretty good at that. And I think yesterday they were on the rough end of the umpiring as well. So they didn't get a great run yesterday. But in the end, look, they win the game. And it's good to see the supporters back there for the Bombers enjoying footy, because they've had a tough 4 or 5 years. And I think they deserve seeing some good footy played by their footy club.
27,000 people braved the Arctic conditions at the MCG yesterday to see the Demons kick out to a very handy lead at halftime. And while Port Adelaide showed a little bit in the second half, they never seriously looked like they were going to win the match. Melbourne sort of seemed to have just a little bit in reserve each time Port Adelaide threw up a challenge.
They decimated them in the first half when it was there to be won. Shebex, it was all on the back of Max Gawn's domination of the All-Australian ruckman to be, probably Paddy Ryder. That was a clinic in the ruck from Max yesterday. And then the game sort of changed a little bit when he went down with a leg injury and had to go down into the rooms. And Paddy Ryder got on top a little bit in the ruck over Tom McDonald. And then when Gawn came back on, he wasn't at 100%. So Ryder had his tail up a little bit. Gawn fought back later on and I thought was pretty influential in the last quarter. But that first half for Melbourne was as good as you'll see this year in terms of pressure around the footy against a good team. They were outstanding. And Port were really lucky in the end to kick a goal, because the goal that they got, the first one with, I think it was the 25-minute mark of the second quarter through Westhoff, was the most blatant free kick you could ever see in your life. But in the end, it changed the momentum a little bit, because Port got their game going and the skipper was outstanding.
Jack, as you said, Jack Viney, I just thought he set the tone in that first quarter. He had 12 possessions, Brett, and he had 10 clearances a game high. And also thought Hibbard, his rebounding off the back line and his footy smarts, he's been a tremendous recruit for Melbourne.
He has, yeah. First on Viney, he, look, I guess the idea was to shop early for a few of those Melbourne players, having missed so long. So I think there was five of them who'd missed probably 4 weeks. Jack had missed just the two, but so they had to do their work early, and the rest of them were coming back from Darwin as well. So I think it was important for them to build a lead early on and then hold on like they did. So he was outstanding with his attack on the footy, and I thought he had the better of his good mate Ollie Wines in what was pretty much a head-to-head duel for most of the day. And then you mentioned Michael Hibbard, like 36 possessions off half-back, and just that raking left foot always makes the right decision. Some of his ball use was outstanding. The thing is, though, he was playing on Travis Boak, who did kick 4 goals at stages. So that was an interesting battle in itself, because whilst Hibbard was outstanding for Melbourne, Boak was the one who really got Port back into the game with his work at half-forward. And it's just interesting to see how Port have been playing him, mainly as that half-forward this year. And there's been probably some criticism of him. Why hasn't he gone into midfield? But when he can kick 4 goals like that and do a role like he did yesterday, well, it's pretty valuable Robbie Gray, really quiet early. Neville Jetta had him in his back pocket for long periods as a forward, and then he was thrown into midfield, and geez, the game changed with him going in there as well, along with Boak starting to find some footy at half forward. And I'll tell you what, Robbie Gray, when you go and watch him, he's worth the price of admission in midfield. Some of the stuff he can do is amazing.
Looked like the Bulldogs found themselves in the lost and found department of Gazzaley Stadium yesterday. They found some form for a good win against the Suns, a 54-point win, but they may have lost a champion of the club forever with a severe break of the arm to Dale Morris in a couple of places, and his career in jeopardy.
He's had some rotten luck this year, Moz, and that's just another one. Just the bad timing of it too, because you'd suggest with the double break in the arm, that's probably the end of the year, and who knows what's going to happen for him next year with contract statuses and things like that. So that is pretty tough to watch from a Bulldogs point of view. And look, in the end, they ran away to what was it, a 56 or 55-point win with a huge last quarter. I think it was 8 goals in the final term. But they just travelled until then against a team who was missing some pretty handy players. I still think they're still a fair way away, the Dogs, from their best form. But Liam Picken, 6 goals up forward.
Yeah.
Well, it was four really early in the first 40-odd minutes, and then to finish with 6. And there's little times in the last quarter where the game was won and you're sitting there hoping they're going to find a way to kick it to Liam so he could get a few more to take back to Melbourne with him. But look, in the end, the Dogs, a good win and a good percentage boosting win. I think that's the important part of that last quarter, because the percentage is going to play such a big part, I think, in the end of this season. And their percentage was poor heading into the game. I think they were able to pick up about 4% in the end in that last term. So I think that's a big bonus out of the day for the Dogs. Marcus Bonapelli pretty solid through midfield again. I thought Lewis Young backed up his performance against Carlton with another pretty good effort down back yesterday against the Suns as well. So they've probably found one there, the Dogs. They had good contributors through the midfield. And on the other hand, the Suns had players who burst in and out of the game but weren't able to do it for consistent periods of time. And what was a pretty windy day up in Cairns.
Just on Liam Picken, now the Gazzaley Stadium goal-kicking record holder. The unlikely record holder.
You're going to love those when you walk away with a ground record, grounds that don't have much footy there. So he'll be wrapped with that one, no doubt, Liam. And it was just a real handful from the start yesterday for the Suns' defence. And he was too good in the air at times. And on the ground, we know that he's pretty smart as well. And that was a fantastic effort from him.
Two for the price of one off you this time, mate. Sydney too good for St Kilda, and Hawthorn way too good for Freo.
Yeah, well, St Kilda, geez, they've gone backwards in the last 2 weeks, and that was a really disappointing performance. I held hopes that they might be able to push Sydney last night, but at no stage were they ever in the game, and unfortunately for them, it wasn't Buddy Franklin really who got them. Whilst he was okay, Buddy, and did his bit, it was the other bloke, Callum Sinclair, who kicked 5 goals, and he had Jake Carlisle for long periods, who's been in really good form, and he really showed him up. So that was disappointing from that point of view. The Saints, look, something's got to turn around really quick for them, because the last fortnight has been poor. Over in the West, great win for Hawthorn, 50 points. Fremantle, terribly disappointing. Jack Gunston, 30-odd possessions playing across that sort of half-back line. He's found a new role there, and Clarke continues to be able to revitalise these players and flip them around, and he brought in an Irishman last night, Connor Glass, who certainly looked at home at the level. So he's a genius, Clarko. And now they've won 7 games at the start of the year, early in the year. We were sitting there thinking maybe they could win the Wooden Spoon. Well, there's probably half a chance they finish on top of St Kilda. So that whole draft scenario at the start of the year that we're all sitting there talking about and thinking, how good's this? Well, it's turning around pretty quick.
Just on the Sydney game, Brett, I just wanted to bring up Lewis Mellican, a tremendous performance on a superstar, Nick Riewoldt.
Yeah, he was fantastic. Unfortunately for Nick, though, he's looking sore and sore as the weeks go on. He looked sore again last night, pulled up short a couple of times.
Yeah,
and I thought probably at the start of the year, even after his little knee injury, I thought he'd definitely go on next year. He's just so important. But the more you watch him, the more questions that you sort of ask yourself. And I think there's going to be a really hard decision that needs to be made between him and the club at the end of the year. I've got no doubt that Nick will make the right decision for both parties moving forward. As Justin Kaczynski said on afternoons during the week, he's a pretty proud bloke, and he'll make a pretty considered decision at the end of the year. But Lee Montagna went down as well with an injury, and not the right time for players plus 30 to be getting injured. So he looks like he's going to spend a bit of time on the sideline. So disappointing there from a St Kilda point of view. But Mellican, really good last night, Dennis.
Time for that game that we play with you at the end of each interview we do with you. Single word answers. Here we go. Richmond GWS.
Giants.
Oh, jeez. Wow. Collingwood West Coast.
Pies.
Ooh. Brisbane and Carlton.
Lions.
Oh. Yeah, three interesting games, though.
It's not easy for tipping, and I've got a bad tipping week, and I need to catch up, but I could just get myself further and further behind.
With those tips, you definitely have.
I've handed over the lead in the competition yesterday, so I'm not quite happy about that, so I need to find a way to get back. But they're three, I think, really close games. Sam Mitchell being left out of the West Coast team is an interesting one from that point of view. And then you look at Brisbane's recent record against Carlton at the Gabba, and it's really strong, so I think we've got three games today. Whilst none of them jump out, the Richmond GWS game should be a cracker. The other two, you wouldn't sit there and think, oh, geez, I have to rush home to watch that. But I think that both games should be pretty close and might be worth watching.
Good on you, buddy. Thanks for your time as always, mate. Do it again next week.
Cheers, boys.
Brett Anderson, SEN Inside Football, joining us 23 past 9 to break. We'll talk some NRL next.